reigned for about 11 or 12 years each. And Zedekiah was a puppet. He was the Nebuchadnezzar had invaded the land of Israel and had taken some, at least, captive back to Babylon and had set up Zedekiah to rule the rest of Israel. And Zedekiah was Nebuchadnezzar's puppet. So these were the times of Jeremiah. There were, at the time of Jeremiah, there were powerful rivalries to Jeremiah or to Judah. There was a rivalry to the south where we had the great country of Egypt. To the north was Assyria, and to the east was Babylon. Judah was surrounded by those powerful superpowers of that day. Israel had already been taken into captivity at this point. Assyria had invaded the rest, the other tribes of Israel, and had taken them away. Judah was on the decline. Not only were they on the decline politically, as they were surrounded by their enemies, but they were also on the decline spiritually. And we're given a little bit of a flavor for the pagan times of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 2, verse 4, says that they followed the worthless idols. Jeremiah 2, verse 1, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Jeremiah 6, verse 15. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. Jeremiah 7, verses 9 through 11. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods? You have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say we are safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 7, 9 through 11. I was reading recently that Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, says that the average user spends 40 minutes a day on Facebook. I'm not to pick on Facebook. I'm sure there's a lot of other social networking sites out there and a lot of other internet time that we spend. Are we a nation of idols? Are we a nation of idols? 2013, the Pew Research, they did a study that said 29% of Americans seldom or never attend church. That was up from 25% in 2003. Have we forsaken the spring of living water? 33,000 reports of larceny and theft were reported in Philadelphia in 2016. Are we a nation of thieves? 1.21 million abortions, 2008. According to the Guttmacher Institute. Are we a nation of murderers? Jeremiah's time is not so unlike ours. Jeremiah's time was a post-Christian time. This is a nation that has not obeyed the Lord. It's not responded to God. Or its correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips, he says. This could be Transplant that today. This could be our nation. This could be our time. And it's in the midst of this that Jeremiah is called. Jeremiah is called. What is Jeremiah's call? We see this call in verse 5 here. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah's call began when? When he was called by the Lord? When was he called by the Lord? He was called by the Lord in eternity. Before the world began. Before I even made you, I knew you. God made Jeremiah specifically for this purpose. And this knowing I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We sometimes think, that God knows everything, right? Sort of a foreknowledge kind of thing. But I think the real sense of this word here is a covenantal sense, a marriage sense. Adam knew his wife. Cain knew his wife. There's an intimacy here that is the intimacy of marriage. I knew you. Before I formed you, before I made you, I knew you. You were mine. I knew you. God had chosen Jeremiah. He had chosen him for this specific purpose. I set you apart. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I set you apart. We see this same choosing, this same setting apart in the New Testament as well, don't we? Jesus tells his disciples in John, I chose you. I chose you to go and bear fruit. See, it wasn't anything that Jeremiah did, right? Jeremiah wasn't even born yet before he was chosen by God. He wasn't even born, but he was chosen. Before I formed you, I knew you. He chooses us too, doesn't he? Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Jeremiah wasn't significant because of some innate gift that he had. Jeremiah was significant because God chose him. God knew him. Before the creation of the world, he knew him. God forms and makes life. He knows us. I sometimes wonder what happens to a child when he is aborted. What happens to that child that is miscarried? Before I formed you, I knew you. God loves that child. God knows. Even that, as terrible as that is, God knew you. He knew. God chose you. So Jeremiah is given a job to do. What is that job? Well, he's to be a prophet. God's answer to pagan times was a man, not a program. I think sometimes we get that confused. We think, oh, if we can just set up enough good programs, people will come to church. We'll grow as a church. People want to hear good music, so let's make sure that we have good music. God's answer is a man. It's a message. It's the message that this man brings. Back to my little quotation of Billy Graham. If you were paying attention to that, what was it that endeared Billy Graham to so many? It wasn't Billy Graham. Billy Graham was nothing all that special. He would probably be embarrassed that he laid in state in the Capitol. It was Billy Graham's message, the message that Billy Graham brought. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. He was called to bring a message to the people. He's a prophet, not to the nations. The first 45 chapters or so of Jeremiah, there's some historical narrative mixed in, but first 45 chapters are prophecy about the land of Judah. Prophecy about Judah. Chapter 46, he prophesies about Egypt. Chapter 47, he prophesies about the Philistines. Chapter 48, he prophesies about Moab. Chapter 49, he prophesies about Ammon. Chapter 49, verse 7, he prophesies about Edom. Chapter 49, verse 23, he prophesies about Damascus, the capital of Assyria. Chapter 49, verse 28, he prophesies about Kedar and Hazor, and then Elam and Babylon and Jerusalem. That was every nation of the known world. I will make you a prophet, not just to Judah, but to the nations. So what was Jeremiah's response? Can you imagine being called to be a prophet to the nations? Could you imagine what that must have felt like? Is Jeremiah's response one of pride and say, finally, my talents have been recognized. Finally, they see I'm a What was his response? It was not one of pride, that's for sure. Not sure whether it was one of faith or not. What's his response here in verse 6? His very first response is, I don't know how to speak. What, are you kidding me? I mean, read between the lines a little bit. I inserted that. I don't know how to speak. I can't speak. Sort of a little bit of a throwback, isn't it, to Moses? Moses is called to call God's people out of slavery in Egypt. What does he say? I'm slow of tongue. I don't know how to speak. Of course, what does God reply? Who gave man his mouth? Right? Yeah. It's a very similar response also to that of Isaiah, who says, woe is me, for I am ruined, right? I've seen the Lord of hosts. I'm ruined. Not only does Jeremiah say that he doesn't know how to speak, but he says what? I am only a youth. I am only a youth. We don't know how old Jeremiah was, but presumably he says he was a youth, so I don't know, what do we take a youth to be these days? A teenager? Are you a youth? Are you a teenager? Are you in high school? Are you in grade school? Are you a youth? That's how old Jeremiah was when the Lord called him to be a prophet to the nations. I'm only a youth. God calls Jeremiah. He chooses Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's response is, I can't speak. I'm only a youth. Now, when God calls you, is there any way to resist him? I saw at least one person shake their head no. Is God's call compelling? Can you not listen to God's call? His call is compelling. What does he tell Jeremiah? You must go. You must go. You must go and say, this is, there's no way around it. I'm not letting you off the hook, Jeremiah. There's no way around it. You must go. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. What's there to be afraid of? I don't know, but if you looked at all the things that happened to Jeremiah, you would see that there was all the reason to be afraid. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. I'm with you. I'll rescue you. I put my words in your mouth. I put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah, you've taken the focus is in the wrong place. It's not about you, Jeremiah. It's about the message. It's about the words that you're going to bring. That's what this is about. It's not about you. What's our excuse? I'm only a child. I'm only in high school. I can't share my faith. I love God, but that's just too much for me. I'm only a child. Maybe I'm not in high school. Maybe I'm grown up. I'm afraid. I don't know how to speak. See, isn't that the problem? It's not about us knowing how to speak. It's not about how old we are. It's about the message. God's called us. What does he say to us? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and surely, what? I am with you. His promise to Jeremiah is the same as his promise to us. I'm with you. It's not about you. It's about the message that I've given you. I've given you the word. I put my word in your mouth. Speak it. Jeremiah's message was a message of salvation, but it was also a message of judgment. What does he say? I appoint you over nations, what? To uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I put you over nations to do this. Uproot, tear down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant. The message. See, the message of salvation is also a message of judgment. One of Jeremiah's names, one of the ways that he's characterized, I've seen this a number of times, is as the weeping prophet. Right? The weeping prophet. This was not a pleasant message that he had to bring, the weeping prophet. Michelangelo on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he paints Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is shown with his hand over his mouth, looking up as if the weight of the world were on his shoulders. See, that's how we see Jeremiah, isn't it? Hand over his mouth, the weight of the world on his shoulders. If we were to read the whole entire book of Jeremiah, we would see that Jeremiah's call had cost him everything. Everything. He was rejected in his hometown. He was accused of being a false prophet. He was tried by the religious leaders. Those very leaders that should have been receptive to his message instead put him on trial. Pashur, the priest, has him thrown, beaten, and thrown into a cistern. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was imprisoned, he was put to death. Jeremiah was called. His call had cost him everything. If we were to look at Christ, we could also say that Christ was a weeping prophet. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, he weeps over Jerusalem. Jesus' call had cost him everything. He was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. He was accused of being a false prophet. He was tried by the religious leaders. The very leaders that should have been receptive to his message were not. Caiaphas, the high priest. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. He was put to death. He was put to death on the cross. Jesus stood against the flood of sin. But unless, we should also see Jeremiah's message, though, as a message of hope. And Jesus' message, it's a message of hope, isn't it? Yes, there's the uprooting and tearing down. We see that in Jeremiah. There was the uprooting and the tearing down. We see that in Christ. What does Simeon say when he holds the baby Jesus? What does he say? This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. The tearing down. We have in Jesus the destroying. I will destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The temple of Jesus' body was destroyed. You see, the message is without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the uprooting of sin in our lives, we cannot have the benefits of a new life. It's a message of hope. It's a message of destruction, but it's a message of hope. And I leave you with this. Jesus says to us, in this world, you will have trouble. But fear not, little flock. I have overcome the world. Message of hope. I have overcome